This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
On October 16th, 2014, Vancouver-based West Coast Leaf released its sixth annual report card on women's rights in British Columbia. West Coast Leaf is a women's legal education and action fund group in Vancouver. The annual report card is West Coast Leaf's assessment of how well the province is measuring up on international legal standards of women's equality, which are set out in the United Nations Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women. Canada was a signatory to that convention.
I spoke with Laura Track. She's the legal director at West Coast Leaf about this year's report card. Here's that interview. Laura, the highlights. The first one, BC's discriminatory child support clawback. Tell us more about that.
Since the early 2000s, BC has had a policy of clawing back dollar for dollar any child support that's paid to a single parent who's receiving social assistance. That includes parents on regular income assistance as well as parents on disability. We know that income assistance rates are far too low already to allow families to live in safe and dignified conditions. And clawing back child support, which is money intended for children, in our view, is discriminatory and unhelpful and needs to be ended right away. The policy was recently challenged in court by the Community Legal Assistance Society, and we're eager to see the courts decide that this policy is discriminatory and has to go, because unfortunately, despite over a year of advocacy from community groups and single mothers themselves who have attended the BC legislature and made their concerns known about the impact this policy has on their ability to feed and house and clothe their children, government has been unwilling so far to rescind the policy and implement an exemption for child support. So ultimately, it looks like this policy is going to be challenged in court.
Now, the second area that you're most concerned about is publicly funded legal services to people with low incomes. Tell us about that.
So the issue of access to justice is an issue that West Coast Leaf has been concerned about for a long time. Legal aid was slashed by 40% in 2002, and most of the cuts went to poverty law services and family law services, which are more often accessed by women who tend to be more economically disadvantaged at the time of a breakdown of a relationship and need access to publicly funded legal services to help them assert their legal rights in terms of custody and protection of their children, fair division of property, and so forth. And unfortunately, legal aid has remained desperately underfunded for over 10 years. We've been calling for reinvestment in legal aid as a policy that makes good economic sense and is required if women are to have equal access to their legal rights, particularly in family law cases. Every year that we've done the CEDAW report card, and we've done this report card since 2002, government has received an F on the measure of women and access to justice. We need policy that reinvests in legal aid and ensures that low-income people have the same access to justice as everyone. Otherwise, the courts and the legal rights that are protected on paper really only belong to the wealthy.
You also select street homelessness in Vancouver as an area to focus on.
We do. We know from this year's homeless count that street homelessness in Vancouver skyrocketed this year, which is quite a distressing turnaround from several years of declining homeless numbers. Of course, what those homeless counts miss is what is often referred to as hidden homelessness. And women are much more likely to be among the hidden homeless because they're less likely to sleep on the streets and in shelters that can raise quite significant safety issues for women. So they're more likely to couch surf, to sleep in cars, to stay with friends, and even to put their safety at risk by sleeping at a stranger's home, for example, and exchanging sex for a place to stay. So housing is a critical issue for women in British Columbia, and the lack of safe and affordable, accessible housing across the province is a real concern for women and their safety.
There are many concerns about the report of the Missing Women's Commission of Inquiry and the government's progress in responding to that. Tell us more about that.
So it's been almost 2 years since the Missing Women's Commission of Inquiry report was issued by Commissioner Opal. Despite many concerns about the process of the inquiry and the exclusion of affected individuals and groups from participation in that inquiry, we were hopeful that the recommendations the commissioner generated would be implemented. There were useful recommendations in there about addressing sexism and racism within police forces, about ensuring exit strategies for sex workers, and about protecting vulnerable women, particularly women in rural communities and along the Highway of Tears in BC's north. Unfortunately, the government's own progress report, most recently issued progress report on implementation of the recommendations, shows that very few recommendations have been fully implemented. Some are in progress. Some have not even been started or considered. One of the most urgent recommendations the commissioner made was the creation of transit services along the Highway of Tears so that women weren't forced to hitchhike in order to attend doctor's appointments or get groceries or move between communities as they went about their business. Because of the lack of a accessible transit system along the Highway of Tears, many women do rely on hitchhiking to get from place to place where they need to go. And Commissioner Opal recommended that a transit option be implemented quickly and urgently along the Highway of Tears, a place where many Indigenous women and girls have gone missing over the years. There's been absolutely no action on this item. The government continues to resist implementing this transit option, and it's a real, from our perspective, a real failure to listen to the commission the government itself created and the recommendations that it's issued to keep women safe.
Laura, the report card also mentions a provincial child care strategy.
Yes. So 2014 is the first year that we've awarded BC a failing grade for its failure to provide meaningful access to child care. BC is the second most expensive province in the country for obtaining child care. And I don't think this is a coincidence, it also ranks lowest in the country for labor market participation of women who have children who are under the age of 12. We also know that despite government claims that a public child care system would be too expensive, evidence and research shows that BC's lack of affordable child care options itself places significant limitations on the province's economic growth. And in jurisdictions that do have affordable child care systems, like Quebec's, research shows that those programs more than pay for themselves by encouraging women's participation in the paid labor force with resultant contributions to the tax base in the province. Access to affordable, quality child care would also directly improve a number of the other areas that are highlighted in our report card. It would provide opportunities for women to earn income, to provide for their family's basic needs, including nutritious food and safe housing, and it would allow women to leave abusive relationships without fear of falling into poverty. Instead, what government offers is a $55 tax credit to families to put towards their monthly child care costs. And of course, your listeners will know, if any of them are paying child care, that $55 a month is a drop in the bucket when compared to the overall monthly costs of quality child care in this province. So we're calling for and endorsing a $10 a day child care plan that's been developed by researchers and child care advocates here in the province. They have costed out and designed a very logical child care plan that would cost families earning over $40,000 $10 a day to access. For families earning under $40,000, it would be freely available and publicly funded. And this is the kind of bold vision that we need to increase women's capacity to participate in the paid labor force and to provide affordable, quality care and education opportunities for our kids.
There are also some real strong concerns about women in remand on Vancouver Island.
We highlighted the incredible abhorrent conditions for women in remand in our report card last year and noted this year that no action has been taken to protect the safety and the dignity and the rights of women incarcerated on Vancouver Island. In fact, this year, a youth prison, or a youth jail, more accurately, was actually closed, and the youth incarcerated in that facility were moved to the mainland, moved to the Burnaby Youth Correction Site. What we and a number of Vancouver Island mayors called for, in fact, Vancouver Island police were on board with this recommendation as well, we called for that youth facility to be modified such that youth and women could be kept there in safe, better conditions than what women are facing in remand, where they're basically spending time in a drunk tank. They don't have access to proper beds and pillows. Many don't have access to showers for days on end or even the ability to brush their teeth. They're sleeping on the floor with people who have been brought in for drunkenness. And there are all sorts of violations of both international human rights law and very basic aspects of women's equality when compared to the way men are treated in remand on Vancouver Island, where they have access to an appropriate facility, they have access to beds, they have access to exercise equipment, can take care of their personal hygiene needs and so forth. And women are receiving vastly different and inadequate treatment in remand on Vancouver Island. But unfortunately, the recommendation to use the excess space in the youth facility to accommodate women was rejected and the facility was closed. So now incarcerated youth from Vancouver Island have to be transferred out of their communities and into Burnaby to serve their sentences, and we don't have a proper facility for women.
Laura Track, is there anything else that you'd like to add to this discussion?
We framed this year's report card around the theme of what women really want. And we did that in response to an episode of Jeopardy a couple of weeks ago, the quiz show that I'm sure your listeners are familiar with, which had a category called What Women Want. And the answers to the questions in that category, or I guess it's the other way around, the questions in response to the answers in that category were about things like a good pair of jeans and some help with the vacuuming. And in light of that, we wanted to show what women really want. They want access to justice, they want economic security, they want affordable housing and childcare, and they want safety for all. And these are the building blocks of a healthy society. And what our report card shows is that, unfortunately, BC is failing to deliver on those legal obligations.
Thank you very much for taking the time to join us.
Laura Track is Legal Director at Vancouver-based Women's Legal Education and Action Fund. You can download a PDF copy of the annual report card on women's rights online at westcoastleaf.org.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.